We're back with more of Lake Effect Weekend. I'm Bonnie North. In today's globalized world, it's easy to spot the culture of another nation infused into that of our own. But it's also true that past cultural changes in one country can shape current trends in ours. Take, for example, some of the pottery being made here in the Midwest. Artists like the well-known Minnesota potter Warren McKenzie have taken their cue from early 20th century Japanese artists who've created what's known as Mingay pottery. They believe that creating functional yet beautiful objects could transform the people who would use them in their everyday lives. Based on their work, McKenzie has pioneered a new style some call Mingay soda, and his work, along with other Midwestern Mingay artists, are being featured in a new exhibit at the Linden Sculpture Garden here in Milwaukee. Lake Effect's material culture contributor Jennifer Fields recently talked with Linden's executive director Polly Morris about the artistic culture exchange that created this style.
Material culture is very consciously produced in a lot of ways, and it has ties to the economy, to politics, to society. Our sense of what Japanese pottery is of course very affected by this whole Mingay movement, which came about in the interwar years between World War I and World War II, and had a lot to do with defining Japanese identity both internationally and in the Asian sphere. It had a lot to do with consolidation of state power and the Japanese Empire. So then there was this movement to kind of discover Japan's pure folk culture, but it was a highly directed movement. There were decisions being made at the highest level about what constituted pure folk culture, and masters like Hamada were being identified who made this beautiful stuff and would then teach local potters to work with these particular forms and to work with these particular kinds of decoration. Japan had an emerging middle class at that point, and Mingay became a huge thing in terms of the development of the department store in Japan and being able to sell these wares. And they didn't just make pottery. I mean, they made textiles, they made mats, they made, you see these incredible Mingay ties and things like this. So it was part of an entire socioeconomic cultural movement that then, has sort of worked its way back to the Midwest, where you have someone like Warren McKenzie, an offshoot of this whole process, who, after serving in World War II, came back to the Art Institute of Chicago to continue his career as a painter, found all the painting classes full. The only classes that were open were ceramics, and he began doing ceramics. And he became, eventually, the head of the ceramics program at the University of Minnesota, built a little house and pottery in Stillwater, Minnesota, which is about half an hour from Minneapolis. He turns 90 in a week or two. He still makes pottery every day.
One of the things that I love about ceramics is that we all have some connection with them.
This is all work from Warren McKenzie's latest firing. So this came out of the kiln in the last month or two.
And unlike the sculptures outside, I can't run around through this and touch them, right?
Right. Though every single person who's walked into this room while we were installing it, including me, wants to go and touch these and pick them up and use them, because these are functional pieces of pottery. They're cups, they're bowls, they're pitchers, they're platters, and they invite you to use them. You can see, starting at one end of this table, that we have a set of very simple cups, handleless cups, very similar shape, but different kinds of surface decoration, different glaze, indentations, and you can see these are things that Warren makes all the time. He makes lots of them, and yet every single one is different. They're all related, they're part of the same family, but they're very different.
They strike me when, in looking at these pieces, I'm not going to touch it. I want to so bad.
Yes.
But on a day like today, when I'm looking out the window and the snow is blowing, I want to look down and see coffee.
And pick it up
and
drink
it. Up.
Right. And it's arranged a little bit this way. There are also some beautiful, two lovely simple teapots close by. And again, he's working with surface decoration. He's working with creating facets in some of his work. You'll see that in the bowls and in the teapots. Incisions in the surface to create interesting textures. And then this teapot, which if this wasn't under glass, I would have to steal. Let's face it. It's, you know, it looks like at first like a very simple rounded teapot, but you realize that he's squared it off ever so slightly all the way around. The proportions are beautiful. The spout, the top, everything about it is beautiful. But the feelings you have about this pottery when it's under glass and the pottery when it's on the table are very different.
I have this idea, and I'm burdened with this idea, that the everyday and the most simple can be beautiful.
Oh, absolutely.
And because you use it does not necessarily mean that it's not art.
Right. You bring beauty into people's lives, it changes them. And that's kind of a description of art. So whether it's the cup you're drinking coffee out of in the morning or, you know, something that you put behind glass, I think these things can be very profound. And Warren has adhered very faithfully to this concept that work should be affordable and everything should be used. And, you know, you could not go into Pottery Barn or Target and spend the same amount of money and get anything that was remotely like this. So I, you know, it's really made me think a lot, and we made several trips up to the Minnesota-Wisconsin border where all these potters live, and, you know, they all live in these beautiful houses and natural settings, most of them very small, but they're filled with beautiful objects, not just ceramics, sometimes, you know, they textiles and other things, you know, they have their potteries built out in the woods or whatever. They have gardens. It's a way of life, and you can see how it's transformed the way they live and how they think about living and being in the world. And I think that's, you know, and it's a very, you know, it's about objects, but it's a kind of anti-consumption position. You know, to keep it as simple as possible, not to have too many of these things. You know, it's not about cluttering your life with a lot of junk, even beautiful junk.
Jennifer Fields studies material culture at UW-Madison and is the curator of It's a Material World. That project is funded by the Chipstone Foundation, a decorative arts foundation whose mission is preserving and interpreting their collection, as well as stimulating research and education in the decorative arts. Fields spoke with Linden Sculpture Garden's executive director, Polly Morris, in Milwaukee. The Sculpture Garden is hosting the exhibit, The Mingay Tradition in the Midwest, Warren McKenzie and Beyond, through March 30th. And I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for making us a part of your afternoon. And thank you to all of the listeners who contributed to Milwaukee Public Radio during our recently concluded winter membership drive. Thanks to your generosity, we made the goal. Lake Effect Weekend comes your way every Saturday and Sunday from 3 to 4 in the afternoon. You can hear our weekday version of the show at 10 in the morning. It's all on listener-supported 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned now. Weekend All Things Considered is coming up next.